Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey, welcome back. This is Newsfile, it's your most authoritative news analysis platform. And here on Newsfile, we put Ghana first. And as we go to check the ECG, I, you know, promise you I'll share a few more of your messages before we move on. And this one says that away from the legal technicality, just that's from Alhaj Suleiman, away from the legal technicalities, to be honest, I see clear antics on the part of the president. Consistency is not on the part of the president, and that clearly raises questions about his true intentions. For me, the president simply doesn't want to sign the bill and is thus seeking to cover, seeking cover from the technicalities of the law. And okay, thanks for that. That's for how you view it. This is from Irabna Opoku-Bediako, and she says that clearly the NDC MPP do not respect Ghanaians. You see why I say we shouldn't call them honorables. They are not leading the way, and this is unhealthy for a country that is talking about moral standards. What law can we invoke to ensure that they desist from telling lies? A law to invoke for to get people to desist from telling lies. Okay. Interesting there from you also. All right, let's stop here. Now, let's get to the Electricity Company of Ghana, which is presently in the eye of the storm because there has been a work of some audit or some validation process done by PricewaterhouseCoopers, of course, under the auspices of the PURC, and I think it's the ministry also. And the findings are not pleasing at all. They don't seem to have seen anything good with the Electricity Company of Ghana Limited, at a point that many have come to conclude that they are doing quite a good job. Well, interesting. Some of the observations they have made is that there's a decline in the quality of service delivery, including increasing power outages across ECG service areas from January 1, 2024 to date. There's increase in complaints related to billing and estimated consumption of ECG postpaid customers. Charging of unapproved service connection fees by ECG among other issues. And the report, okay, charging of unapproved fees, approved service connection fees by ECG, and the PURC is seeking that the ECG or has actually issued an order to compel to them to comply with the cash waterfall mechanism. What is it? You get to know it. And pay all tariff revenues as prescribed and allocated under that mechanism to secure the financial integrity of the sector. They are also ordered to submit copies of government directives to ECG for the purchase of fuel for power generation from August 2023 to date, details of all bank accounts and investment accounts currently operated by ECG, a lot of other things. So let me just begin with my guests so we'll get to go into some of the details therein. And Femke remains with us here in the studio. Edward Abambiri Bauer is MP for Bongo and member Mines and Energy Committee of Parliament. We have Alhaji Jabaru Abubakar, Director Regional Operations and Consumer Services of the PURC. And Ben Boachi, who was with us last week, returns. He's Executive Director of ACEP, the African Center for Energy Policy. Gentlemen, thank you very much for making time to join us. So let's begin with attempting to understand what is going on. And has there been a loss of 1.9 billion cedis, as the report suggests or states? Let's begin with Ben Boachi. Ben, help us understand what is going on with the ECG in respect of this validation process.
Yeah, I think something the country agreed, whether you liked it or not, it was a decision of cabinet that we initiate a process where whatever revenue that comes in, first of all, what triggered the cash waterfall mechanism was the fact that not much revenue was being collected to be able to pay everybody in the value chain. So government decided that they will set up, you know, that mechanism where whatever comes in will be distributed proportionally for every player in the sector to at least get some resources to operate with or to run with. And it was agreed. And I think it's been running for some time now until it started, you know, seeing significant cracks in the process where ECG decided not to put all the money into the cash waterfall mechanism, but appropriated more of the revenue to itself than what was described by the cash waterfall mechanism. So a process to revisit that conversation and streamline things really is what has, you know, brought us here, because then PURC and the government agree that let's go into ECG to see what is actually happening. How are they utilizing the money? Where are the collections going? And prior to that, a directive, a clear instruction had been given that, you know, ECG opens a single operating account where all the money would be put in, so that the distribution is much more transparent and accountability therefore improved. You know, so they wanted an auditor to go in to see if that was actually what is happening. And the revelation is staggering to see that from a single account proposition by cabinet, and as PURC keeps indicating, where the president himself was involved, that that is what ought to happen. ECG was operating about 30 accounts with about 16 banks, you know, from single to 16, not three, not four, 16 banks running several accounts. So that is what PricewaterhouseCoopers have been struggling to get enough details to come to a solid conclusion on how much actually ECG collects. What remains outstanding reading that report, and much critical also, is that we do not know. We don't know how much ECG actually collects, because they have not made available all their accounts for the auditor to ascertain how much they actually collect. So on the supposed single accounts, they don't put all the money in, and then they have scattered accounts that they will not disclose its content for you to be able to track how much they actually collect. And over time, we are seeing a widening under recovery. What that simply means is that how much they are supposed to collect, you know, versus their bills, increasingly not matching, and therefore the state is consistently called upon to intervene or to pay. They are the you know, the owners of the utility company. So this is really what has happened, and what PURC and PwC are asking is for more data so that they can be more conclusive on, you know, what the revenue outlook looks like and what a decision can be taken based on what is being collected. So it's possible that what we call even inefficiency is just a lack of accountability. If you do not know how much is collected, then we classify a lot of things as inefficiency. It could just be somebody deciding not to account for the money that has come in. And getting to the bottom of that becomes increasingly important for the sustainability of the economy and also the power sector specifically.
So in reading the report, I also acknowledge that the report is sort of titled Final Drafts. So you are saying that you expect that something else will happen to change the adverse observations that they have made and the recommendations that have also been made in the report?
I think it's not a final report. They're looking to get all the accounts of ECG to be able to ascertain how much actually came in. Because, for example, if you have a single account where you're supposed to pay all the money through, and it is found that you paid, you know, more than 600 million out of other accounts, how much millions do you have still in those accounts? The auditors are interested in knowing. And why would anybody stonewall access to those accounts? Are very intriguing for all of us to see how you know, that comes to light, for us to appreciate it more and more. But at this point, we will say that we need that data to be able to clearly define the challenges of the power sector and why liquidity has become a major challenge at this point.
Mm. What's your understanding? This and the media report, some of which said billions have been lost. What's your understanding of that?
I think at this point they are reporting discrepancies.
Because they refer to them in the report as a difference.
Yes.
So that's something that's not accounted for.
They still want to give ECG the opportunity to clarify and provide a backing documentation on those specifics. And that is what is outstanding for the report to be concluded, from my understanding and my reading.
Right. But in that case, why at all should this become a public debate when it is not concluded and the PURC is this unhappy? Why?
Yeah, I think I saw PURC's statement and it really struck me. And my understanding and what I perceived it was that PURC is perhaps trying to rediscover itself and be able to be the regulator that it's supposed to be. Because their primary function really is to protect the consumer and also the businesses, the commercial interests of the businesses. All right. And in doing so, you approve a tariff that should ensure that the distributor does not undermine the generator, because without generation, there will be no power. They do not undermine the transmitter. And therefore, every interest is accounted for. And most importantly, the consumer's interest is protected. And regulations ensures that the consumer is not abused. And consistently, we have seen the consumer abused. And PRC has folded its arms and watching ECG abuse consumers. All right. So to see this directive, even though they could have done more, I think it's in the right direction for us to now see how we track, you know, the delivery of the actions that has been outlined in that report. I think also what I also picked is that this signals clearly and confirms all the speculations about confusion in the board of PURC itself, where some commissioners have even started resigning and could have been an exodus of many because of stonewalling and political interference with the operations of the commission. And therefore, the resolve was then that let all of us come together and sign a directive to make sure that ECG complies. And that's why you see all the commissioners signing a statement that ordinarily could have been signed by either the executive secretary or anybody appointed to do so. So
yeah,
it's really interesting to see how these things are panning out, but I hope that we can track the directives and get the results to protect the interests of the consumer.
Having followed the ECG, you know, process so far, they want to call it transformation process. I don't know if you agree with that. Do you find something, you know, concerning about a report that doesn't seem to have anything positive to say about the ECG?
From where I sit, I'm not surprised. So you have a power system that is doing less than 50% of revenue requirement. That clearly suggests that something is wrong. And we need to have answers and solutions to that problem. And more so when those under recoveries come at our laps, we have to pay. The public has to pay for any under recovery or inefficiency that is occasioned by ECG or any utility in that space. And the state is paying. I mean, if you look at the ESRP report, between 2019 and 2023, we have paid over $5.7 billion, right, from the state and from us, you know, through ESLA and other, you know, levies. We keep paying, and there is no end in sight, right? So we knew that these things were happening, and PRC didn't go into it, perhaps in a timely fashion, to ensure that they could curtail it. They restricted themselves to just issuing tariffs whilst the sector degenerated. Mm. And also the players, ECG was abusing everybody without accounting for the revenues that are supposed to come in to ensure that the state or the budget is not called upon to actually address these inefficiencies.
Does it make any difference to you when you hear that, and we have confirmed with, you know, multiple sources that show us these facts, to which we have no contrary fact to, that there was no single collection account in July, and that ECG had multiple accounts. They started paying in August, and they didn't start paying in July. July payments were made by the Ministry of Finance. Effectively, the single collection account started in August. In July, they were asked, that's the ECG, was asked to make payments to Car Power, which effectively meant that the Ministry of Finance had to start the process. And since ECG took over, there has been no default. ECG, from August to December, has paid the IPPs to the tune of $305 million and the SOEs in excess of 1.6 billion Ghana cedis. It has spent $236 million on fuel for the power plants, which the cash water mechanism is failing to recognize because it was meant for disbursement to the SOEs. And ECG has been awaiting a refund from the Ministry of Finance for onward disbursement to the SOEs. ECG has not done anything wrong in this direction. How does this change your perspective of what you have read?
Now, is whatever you read is immaterial. I mean, the point, the fundamental point was that pay everything into an account. And the SOEs, the IPPs, they were all involved in making sure that we had that structure so that there is a formula that benefits them. It benefits the IPPs, it benefits the SOEs, so that all of them gets a portion of the true number that is collected. So ECG's function and duty is not to have the discretion to decide who gets paid and who gets paid what. Their mandate under the directive was to pay every pessoa into a single account.
Which they did.
And a formula is applied.
Which they did, correct?
They didn't do it. They have not done it. And that is the problem. So you pay that into the single account.
There has not been the single account to which payment is made.
And then that is one. and then also proportionally distributed based on the formula that has been agreed or approved by PURs.
Okay. Right?
And that is, that's been the major contention and the reason why PricewaterhouseCoopers had to go in to do the audit. They were not complying with the cash waterfall directive that put every money into the account. And that was also to check discretion on who you decide to pay. There is fairness in the formula that has been produced to make sure that everybody knows how much they are getting. If you check the payments of ECG today, you will see massive discrepancy, even at the IPP level, who gets what. So then becomes who ECG wants or who they likes. They
let,
pay more.
Let me bring on Alhaji Jabaru Abubakar, Director, Regional Operations and Consumer Services, the PURC. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, and good morning to you and the viewers and listeners.
Right. So we have a report that appears to be incomplete. It's not final. Why should that be a basis for this, you know, impasse, so to speak?
Thank you very much. First of all, let me say that the report that maybe the media has taken on is hosted on our website, and it is not one of the reasons why we issued the order, though we mentioned that at least.
What a coincidence.
ECG. Oh, no, it was hosted there, but because of the order, I think a lot of people showed interest in our website and they were able to see it. It's been hosted there for over 2 months ago. So the PURC is enhancing transparency in terms of its regulatory work, because one weapon or tool as a regulator that you do is to be transparent with whatever that you do. And I think Ben has mentioned, though I disagree with him on some few issues, the PURC not acted at the right time, because the regulator mostly wouldn't come to public. All the communications that we do largely is on our website so that people will know what is happening. I agree with him to the large extent, protecting the interests of the consumer and the service provider, that is the utilities. And the value chain, we have generator, we have transmitter, then we have the distributor. Unfortunately, the distributor takes the money in the value chain because he deals with the customers. So because he takes the money, we realize that there was no that continuous flow of revenue to all the others. And you know that people make their planning and projection based on whatever income comes to them. And some of them would have also made some commitment against their cash flow or the inflows that they are going to get. So in the wisdom of the sector, I think government had a directive that we should have this cash waterfall to accommodate that, so that when whatever comes in is equitably distributed, so that everybody will be able to plan, irrespective of how little it is. So that was the reason, basis for this cash waterfall. So at a point, there were some challenges and complaints from various stakeholders. So it was resolved by the stakeholders within the industry that, why don't we have an auditor to look at, first of all, the guidelines for the CW, then also to know where the current position is and where to move on. So that is how the PwC came into the picture. So the commission was tasked to lead the team to get consultant. And it wasn't only ECG that was audited. Even NETCO was audited by the lady, which we also did. So I think if you read the report, you will see that the auditors even expressed challenge of the data.
That's
that
right.
They couldn't get to.
And it's one of the recommendations eventually.
So that is one of the reasons why it is not concluded. So, but if you look at the other one, obviously they had concluded their work because there was some supply of data and they could work within the specified time. So that is just to. What I would want to let us know is that if you go to the PURC Act, the functions, if you look at 3C, D, and E, is very, very important for people to know. And I'm happy that at least you have panel members who understand the industry that much. And in protecting the interests of the utilities, we have come up with rates, which is within the revenue requirement. They brought us their operation costs. They brought us all the needed revenue that the end was approved. If you go through the distribution company's operational expenditure, which line are you going to charge for? And like Ben has mentioned, so there are every line of expenditure that lines that we have within our processes. So you have a revenue that is up for ECG. Where are you going to charge it? And misapplication of resources also distort whatever the financial planning of everybody. And these are the things that we want. So if you put whatever you have collected into the chain, GRICO gets what they want, the IPPs get what they are. It is immediately you do that, you are distorting the thing, and somebody will be at a disadvantage or advantage. What I would want us to look at to know is that this is a serious matter. And as a regulator, before you see us issuing an order, that means that we would have written to require this information, which had not come within the required period that we have requested it. I have said on several platforms that the regulator, we don't write open letters. We write letters with terminal times and dates. We want this information, depending on the agency of it, by this so and so date. So if you don't supply other information, then looking at the agency of it, we have the option to move. This is not the first time we have issued orders. Just that it has coincided with some of the challenges that Ghanaians are facing regarding it. It wouldn't have come up if we had all the data so that we'll be able to do the analysis and come up with our conclusions, find a remedy or solutions to whatever that we are having. That is why you would have seen that maybe we have moved to the level of an order. But if not, the PURC always have corresponded with the utilities. And we've been very, very proactive when it comes to monitoring the system. We know the challenges that have been there. We have gathered data, we have done analysis. We are just left with the last lap of that data. And that is why if it was not forthcoming, we have to now issue an order. If you say you have 630 transformers to which is not, which are overloaded, to which the regulator is not aware, how will the regulator be able to do analysis and do planning for it? And if you even have to replace them, is it in your, as a distribution company, was it part of the revenue requirement that was approved for the tariff control period? These are the relevant questions as a regulator we will do and we will ask when we are around the table. And that is why we require that we should be supplied with that information. The JOCOs, we will do our verification. We have very capable men and women, and we have capable logistics and instruments to be able to check independently. And that is why we have asked for all these things. So we don't do our regulation. Maybe, yes, civil society did do a lot of advocacy, but as a regulator, we are very confidential in whatever we do. So we have discussions with them. But if we don't get the information as required, obviously, we move to the next level. And that is what we did by having the order. And the order is to make sure that please go by the cash waterfall. Please provide us the details when it comes to the overloaded transformers you have mentioned. You've also indicated at various platforms as ECG that you were asked to buy for. Give us the invoices. Give us all the contracts that governs the purchases of the fuel. These are simple matters that we have asked.
Okay.
Starting to do independence or AMPAS. We are a regulator, and Ben has mentioned the act gives us the right.
And do you have any indication of a resolution as quickly as possible or any time?
Oh, it's not about resolution. They have to respond to it, and we'll do our analysis because the order we have given is not conclusive.
Okay.
We are yet to interrogate whatever facts that comes to us. We are not just demanding the data for demanding it. We are demanding it to go to an end, and we are sure and hoping that this matter will come.
Thank you.
To an
end. Hold on for me, and Edward, thanks for joining us. So let's understand your appreciation of what is going on with the ECG as far as the report and the orders from the PURC are concerned.
First and foremost, Samson, let me just tell you that this is the sheer indiscipline. the sheer indiscipline. And I'll explain to you why I'm making that point. Look, you have a company, and the shareholder says, I want to audit a particular account because that is at the heart of the survival of that sector. Somebody is appointed to audit it. And you, as the, what they call it, the person who manages the account, you refuse to make documents available. That's the first aspect. Secondly, you have a situation where the president, who is really the main man for this whole thing, when we talk about the shareholder, tells you, run a single account. Then you refuse. And indeed, not only are you maybe running seven or you're running, you are running, actually it's 37 accounts. You're running 37 accounts. You cannot describe this thing anywhere apart from indiscipline. But to come to the main facts, look, Samson, the very reason why ECG is forced to subject itself to the cash waterfall mechanism is because of the fact that simply they cannot account for the power that they buy. And because they cannot account for the power that they buy, the revenues they get cannot even settle all the bills. And so then you have the account, that what they call the cash waterfall mechanism.
Did you mean to say they cannot account for the power they sell or they buy?
They cannot account for, you see, okay, so let me put, that's a tricky question. So they buy power. So they buy it. So let's say they buy 100 Ghana cedis. They cannot account for the 100 Ghana cedis of power that they now onwardly sell. They cannot account for that. And the reason is because if you look at their losses, if you have a loss that is between 32-34%, so I have an issue. If you buy about 100 Ghana cedis worth of power, you are losing roughly about 34 Ghana cedis. And therefore, you only have 66 that will have to take care of all the players who have contributed in bringing the power, and then you dealing with it. So they cannot account for that. And that is why the cash waterfall mechanism was put in place. Indeed, the very reason why they had to bring PURC in is that even though this is a mechanism that came in 2017, a lot of the players, particularly the IPP, said that there was no transparency in the way it was being administered. The IPPs were always asking, that, look, if I know that, yes, there's a formula that has been dealt with, including even you, ECG, you are part of the formula that has been put. That I know that any time the money comes, this is the way we are supposed to distribute it. But at first, we'll have to know what is the total amount that is in the pot. It is only when I know the amount that is in the pot, then we can have a situation where we can distribute it fairly. In the first place, the players themselves, whether it is a level A beneficiaries, and that's the IPPs, or the state-owned agencies that fall under the level B, they simply do not know how much falls into the kitty. And the reason why they do not know is because ECG is simply not transparent. And so I'm not surprised that, PURC is a system that, if you say that part of your money, you use it in fuel procurement, let us see whether you had a directive from the state, and in this case, whether Ministry of Energy or Ministry of Finance, that use part of the receipts that you have gotten in procuring fuel. Let's see your fuel, the fuel contracts that you signed with those who were supposed to supply the fuel. Let's see what about the invoices that were there. Tell us what the quantities were. These are very simple questions that for running a state institution like ECG, you simply should have this data anywhere you go in terms of the offices. So for the ECG not to be able to supply this, it becomes a bit problematic. And that is why some of us have always been worried. If you recall, just before this current exercise that was conducted, and I'm talking of the one that they just did and came in disconnected parliament, and they are threatening other hospitals. There was an initial one that was done, the one before this. They have said that their target was that they were supposed to look for, they were trying to collect about 7 billion Ghana cedis. Out of that, when they finished the exercise, they announced 5.7 billion Ghana cedis. As to how that 5.7 billion Ghana cedis was used, nobody knows. In fact, a bit of questions that we gave to ECG when they came to meet us as a company, this is what they said. They said because at that time, one, we had curtailment of gas coming from the West. Two, because of the fact that we was also being scheduled to go under maintenance, they needed to buy liquid fuel for the generating plants, particularly those generating plants that were running dual fuel. You know, there are some of our plants that can run both diesel, light crude oil, or gas. And so they bought liquid fuels for that. If that is the case, show us evidence of it. Show us evidence that you actually used this money to buy what you said you used to buy. So, yes.
Why? And they couldn't show the evidence?
They have not. It's part of the reason why PURC is conducting this particular thing through PricewaterhouseCoopers. It is part of the reason why the auditor is auditing these things. Because nobody seems to know where these monies come and where they go. Because look, in January, when you saw the part, at least even it's not conclusive. If you have a situation where for level A, and these are the people who have been threatening us for God knows how long, you will say that for the state-owned agencies, you can find a way of massaging them, even though you are even collapsing them. But for the level A, what do you call it, beneficiaries, that's the IPPs, you were supposed to pay six of them. You ended up paying four, at least from the data that the PwC saw, the four. And instead of paying somewhere around 308, or maybe is it 316, or there about $1 million, you only paid $120 million just to four companies. And what Ben Bwachi said is true. One of the things they do is that anytime there's a crisis, anytime there's a threat, particularly from the IPPs, they look at individual faces and say, look, I know that this person does XYZ. If I pay this person, you'll be able to give me this amount of power at this particular time. They choose and pick as to who they pay. Meanwhile, these are all people who have invested in their businesses. These are people who must have operational, what do you call it, cost being taken care of. But you do not do it.
You said they had paid the level A entities, the IPPs, only how much instead of 300 plus?
So per the documents that were made available, only 120 out of about 304 to 315 million dollars.
The understanding we have from our multiple checks is that from August to December, they had paid the IPPs to the tune of $305 million.
Where did you get that information from? Because if you are stating a source, let me know what the source is.
The source is the ECG.
So this question is to you. Because the point... Yeah, so that's why would I be taking ECG source? Why would I be taking... If ECG states that this is the amount of money they have paid, let the data be made available for all of us to see. That's just the whole idea. The fact that they say that if I come and tell you, if you assuming that I have a mortgage on my house, and maybe I still owe an outstanding of about $25,000, and then... I get up and say, oh, me, I paid $20,000. Meanwhile, the recipient or whoever is auditing that particular mortgage arrangement says that I'm not paying that amount because the data does not support it. How on earth would you get that? Why would I be taking the figure that you have given? I am looking at the audited figures that have been given and the very serious part of it. And that's the point that he was making.
Okay.
Mr. Abubakar. If you look at some of the state agencies, it's becoming more serious. Greco, for example, they are not being paid. Samson, if you say you are using multiple sources, let me give you other sources to go to. Go to Bui now. You know, usually Bui even invoices in dollars because of the fact that they have to do the repayment for the dam, the construction of the dam. As we speak now, Bui, in about 2 months continuously, had to go for a bank overdraft just to pay workers because they didn't even have money. Not to talk of investment, just workers. You go to Greco, they are equally doing the same thing, overdrafts to pay workers. It tells you how they have become very, very cash strapped. Not because of anything, but by virtue of the fact that you have an agency who collects all the money and who decides that, look, me, I have said that I want to pay you X, I want to pay you Y, instead of what has been predetermined. And so, in my very humble opinion, I think that, yes, PURC, to a very large extent, what they have started doing under Ishmael, I think they are doing a very good job. They must say those orders that have been issued, I believe that Dubik, who is a lawyer, should appreciate that this is by the law. The law says if they issue this, they should make the data available and let's all query the data and know as to where how these monies are going. Because, you see, look, Samson, just to conclude, but I know you want to make me conclude. If you see the level of debt that are being piled as a result of the actions of ECG, already from the one we will definitely be piling debt because they cannot account for the power that they serve. That being said, even the money that people were even applying it to pay to retire some of the debts and some of the newly occasioned debts, we will not be in the situation that we are in. And it is because of the simple indiscipline of one organization.
Okay.
We find ourselves in this.
Thank you very much for your time, Edward Bauer. And Ben, very briefly, Ben, listening to Edward Bauer, is there anything to confirm from his point of view or from what he knows? And what do you also say has to be done going forward, briefly? Hello, Ben.
Sorry, I was muted. Yes. So I was saying that we all have a duty to ensure that the power sector is cleaned up. And that's why I always link its effect, that's effect of the power sector to the budget. Because we are the ones who are paying for the inefficiency. Every citizen is paying either through fuel at the pump, or government is finding money somewhere in the budget to be able to pay for the inefficiency. So when we say ECG is inefficient, it's not just words. It has implication, it has impact on everybody else. And the earlier we fix that, the better it will be for all of us. Mm. So the directives that have been issued by PURC, we are keen to monitor to ensure that they deliver on them and they will be transparent with the public on the outcome of those directives. To be able to monitor the abuse of the consumer that is going on. As we speak today, ECG is quoting fees and charges that are not regulated. They cannot function outside regulation. And it's the function of and duty of the PURC to ensure that they don't do that. You can't charge me for a meter that hasn't been approved by the PURC. That is illegal. You cannot do that. But they are doing it. Mm. Meanwhile, the tariff also has investments that encompasses all these metering things. So why are they doing it and nobody's regulating it?
Edward was talking about what they had to pay the IPPs in excess of $300 million and that they had done...
Cities.
And that they had done under 200. And I was referring to him the fact that we have information to the effect that they had done to the IPPs between August and December. They had done $305 million.
Yeah, so the point really is that whatever they have done is a portion of the debt. That is fundamental, all right? You have revenue requirement that you have to pay. And the arrangement that they have, even with the IPPs, is about 30 to 40% of how much you go to the IPP. So there is accumulation that is even still happening. So cleaning up the sector and accounting for the actual funds are important. The 120 million, I mean, it is in the... That one is in the PPRC report for the cash water for...
Okay. Edward again talks about the amount of power they are unable to account for. That appears to me not to be the exact figure you have in our discussion last week. He's talking about in excess of 30%.
Yeah, so the commercial and technical losses cumulatively is about 30%. I think the last year one was about 29, but before that it was about 30 to 31%. Beyond that also are collection challenges. So if you put all of that together, you're even close to 50% because the revenue requirement is a composite of what the power generated, transmitted, distributed should cost us versus how much you actually collect. So it's not just the cost of power that we are not able to collect, but what it also takes for that power to get your fridge or to get your television. Because somebody has to transmit it, and that transmission is done at a cost. ECG itself has to distribute it, and it comes at a cost because they have employees, they have systems that they have to account for. All of that have cost attributed to them. So all of that cumulatively is what we are doing less than 50% of the revenue that they need. If you check PURC's publications and revenue requirement, they are supposed to do between 1.9 and 2 billion CDs every single month.
Okay.
And they are doing less than a billion.
All right.
It's only 1 month, a billion and 22 or so. So that is the scale the other recovery.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I can see that we may have to once again revert to this subject because there are other angles that have triggered very important discussions, including the questions of the FX and suggestions of some sweetheart deals, which we have also been privy to some multiple sources of figures that suggest that nothing untoward has happened, contrary to the allegations that have been made. But it does appear that in the coming days, we'll need to revisit this. But Kwenka, having read and from where you sit, having been minister and reading all these reports, incomplete, and yet there are issues with it and we have to use it for debate.
I have told you this on this platform several times. See, the reportage by multiple media houses and individual commentary seek to draw conclusive determinations about fault finding in all these reports that are inconclusive anyway. And that's why we have to be very hesitant in our commentary and drawing conclusions, because it appears that we have even judged and convicted the ECG without actually coming to a final determination whether or not those findings have been defended successfully or etc. Now, I'm very worried that the young man is doing some wonderful things there with ECG, and yet we're not talking about those positive strides that he's making. We're just singling out some of these things which we call defects and taking him on and etc. Look at the recent things he did, moving to parliament and other state institutions, very daring, very courageous. Let the money come out so that we'll be able to meet our commitments to keep the power on. All those things, we are not commenting on them. His level of commitment and courage.
We have commented on them. It is time to comment about this.
Yes. And this one, as I have indicated, it is very clear. I mean, there's no time, actually. You haven't given me enough time. But it's very clear from the commentary we are running that we are drawing certain conclusions that will recant or eat back with the emerging facts that we are getting day in and day out. Because
I was mentioning, the issues of transparency with their dealings and the collections and so on has actually brought up a different thing where the one bank, for example, has been accused of dealing with them with the Forex as a certain rate.
Yes.
And I have just seen figures, I've seen figures from multiple sources, to be frank with you, that do not confirm.
Yes.
That are to the contrary of what is in the public.
That is what I'm saying. In fact, the ECG has been convicted without even being given any hearing at all. We haven't listened to them to explain their side of the story for us to look at it. All the reports that we get, we just use that as the basis to hang them. And I'm saying that we have all agreed there is an interim report. And remember that answers will be provided. As and when they are available, ECG will provide further answers. They will provide further accounts. They will provide further clarifications. And so it will be even the case that in the end, those faults that are alleged to have been found would have been perfectly answered in manners that we would not even be discussing the issue as we are doing. So let's give them the opportunity to explain themselves. And I think that they are doing a wonderful job. The ECG, led by Samuel Dubeque, is doing a very wonderful job trying to put our light, make sure our lights are on and all that in the midst of difficulties. we should criticize them. Yes, they are not beyond criticism. But at the same time, we should acknowledge their efforts and ensure that some of these things that we convict them even before giving them a hearing, we do not. So that at the end of the day, we'll have a very balanced reportage and then the integrity of the institution will be at.
Thank you very much. And tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m., join me. Have part two of my discussion on punishing lawyer misconduct. And we'll be joined once again by the director of the Ghana School of Law and director of legal education, Berima Yao, K. Opong, and Ahmed Musa on the law. Thank you very much. I'm Samson Ladia Yanini. Have a good afternoon.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.